Hour News. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the Midday News for Friday, March 26. I am Kimberly Benjamin. In the headlines, attorney Gabriel Christian says the 2014 case of treating and bribery against Prime Minister Skerrett must be heard in the magistrate's court because no one is above the law, as affirmed by the CCJ. CDB endorsed a U.S. $383 million program for the 10th cycle of the bank's Special Development Fund to reduce poverty and inequality and transform the lives of citizens in its borrowing member countries. And celebrations of Venice's 1600th birthday are muted due to impacts of floods of coronavirus restrictions, and the city's 20 million yearly tourists have vanished, as has its principal source of income. The details coming up. UESRC announced earthquake activity around 12:51 a.m. this morning. The magnitude was 6.0, location latitude 16.70 north, longitude 60.75 west, depth 10 kilometers. It was felt in Pointe-à-Pitre, Guadeloupe, St. John's, Antigua and Barbuda, and Roseau, Dominica. Q95 will provide more information as it becomes available. Any decision that comes from the DPP to discontinue the CCJ's ruling on the 2014 bribery and treating case will be challenged, and we are prepared to see this one through, says leader of the United Workers' Party, Lennox Linton. Linton speaking on last evening's Workers' Voice program. This decompartmentalized the 2014 treating and bribery case, which saw attorney-at-law Kyra Shillingford receive a unanimous victory in the highest court in the region. This comes at a time when the DLP has been calling for the DPP to intervene in this matter ever since their loss at the CCJ to attorney Kyra Shillingford.
And if it means going into the streets, yeah, to let the government know that this is unacceptable, you see, the more we tolerate all of these incursions on, yeah, civil liberties, the more we encourage all of these affronts to decency, fair play, and attacks on the criminal justice system, the worse they become, you know. These are the same people who started out telling us no law, no constitution ever matters, yeah, to them.
And
have been prevailing in the court, yeah, yeah, on this nonsense over and country. Over again. Dominica is not a real country, and so, yeah, on and so on. And every time you tolerate it, it gets worse.
Yep.
Right. So now we have to ask ourselves, how much more of it are we going to take? Look at the situation with Octavia Bonny. This now becomes a pampalam government,
yeah,
that just does what it wants and expects no sanction, expects no consequences from the operation of the rule of law for the things that they're doing that they know to be wrong and against the public interest of Dominique. So the people of Dominique have to decide, how much more of this do they take? We are given the commitment that we're prepared to see this one through. And should any decision come from the DPP to discontinue this matter, it will be challenged in the court.
The CCJ basically told Anthony Astafan his arguments were irrelevant, reveals leader of the opposition, Lennox Linton.
Listen to this carefully.
Yeah, yeah.
The court held that the cases relied on by the DLP members were all inapplicable to the present appeal.
Basically irrelevant.
As they dealt with the quite separate issue of the exclusive jurisdiction of the High Court to determine the validity of an election by way of election petition. The proceeding before the magistrate did not directly concern any question of validity of elections. It concerned the criminal prosecution of the summary offense of treating. Now, what this is saying is that the CCJ basically just brushed aside,
yeah,
senior counsel Anthony Astafan as the representative of the DLP members, suggesting that the DLP members need to ask themselves questions about the quality of their representation, yeah, and the quality of advice that they're receiving from, yeah, this man who goes to court on a matter as important as this and seeks to ground a case with case law that does not relate to, has no relevance to the matter that is before the court. Yeah. I don't think there is a more serious slapdown of an attorney that you can find in any court in the region than that. They say, listen, you came to us with foolishness. That's what the judgment and the decision is saying. Yeah, you're talking nonsense.
Opposition leader Lennox Linton. Attorney Gabriel Christian says the 2014 case on treating and bribery must be heard, and no one is above the law as affirmed by the CCJ. Speaking on this morning's Hot Seat program with the now heavily debated matter of whether or not the DPP should go against the ruling of the CCJ. Christian says if the DPP going against the matter will be undermining the democracy and the rule of law. He says the whole idea that private citizens are not allowed or should not be encouraged to bring private prosecutions where they see violations of floor is to take away the rights of the citizens or to abuse or judiciary.
Dominique, as I would like to have you know, happens all the time. A private citizen in Maryland can go to the commissioner and file a statement of probable cause and cause the commissioner to issue a warrant for the arrest of someone or cause the commissioner to issue a summons for someone for violation of the criminal law. Now, this United States is a nation that has inherited the ethos, the principles of the British common law, which are those principles being the same principles that Dominica inherited from the British common law system as we were both colonies of Britain. And so the whole idea that private citizens are prohibited or are not allowed or should not be encouraged to bring private prosecutions where they see violation of law is to take away the rights of our citizens, is to abuse our judiciary, is to say to Dominicans they must only rely on the police force of Dominica to do right. When we know the police force of Dominica, as it stands today, is laboring under the burdens of political interference of the worst kind. And so, my friends, due process requires that this case be heard. Due process requires that Roosevelt Skerritt and all of those defendants be brought court, and like every ordinary Dominican, they then must take the oath and tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. That is what we need. If the government, through its attorneys, were to pervert the cause of justice, I think they would be undermining rule of law and democracy on Dominica to our great peril.
Attorney Gabriel Christian, referencing an alleged political blunder involving the Dominica Police Service in 2019 against the parliamentary leader of the opposition, Lennox Linton, former police officer Edincut Sandoval says this failure to action against those who sought to harm Linton spells a bad future for Dominicans and the relations between communities and the police service.
Mr. Linton is leader of the opposition by means of the Constitution. The Constitution makes provision for that. Yes, he is elected by his party as party leader and then become leader of the opposition. But his position is a constitutional one. And some two gentlemen came to Dominica to assassinate him, to plant evidence at his home. And what do we find? A minister of the Labour Party was on the political platform saying, Otisaknuela, Linton, Otisaknuela. And I will interpret that to you all who cannot understand Pata. Where is the black bag? How did Ian Douglas know that it was a black bag that was planted at the home of Mr. Lennox Linton? Mr. Lennox Linton had not made the information available to the public. So how did Ian Douglas know it was a black bag?
Speaking on the Global View on Q Show earlier this week, Sandoval explained in detail the evidence which has been made public for the world to see. Yet, after Linton garnered the information, brought to police headquarters and filed a complaint, he was disrespected by the police hierarchy, investigated under instruction by political forces, and his case has since been placed out of sight into obscurity. Sandoval says such dictatorial practices should not be condoned within the Dominica Police Service.
Lennox Linton investigated the matter, you know, and practically hand over the evidence to the police. And up to now, we haven't heard anything. Mr. Deputy David Valery, what is the position with that matter? Mr. Valery comes to the leader of the opposition room, and instead of investigating, he finds himself in the man's bedroom and asking him on which side of the bed he sleeps and which side of the bed his wife sleeping. You know, stop being selective in dispensing justice.
Former police officer Edincott Sandval. The United Workers Party has planned a grab and a bite and go event to be held on the Salisbury Beach on April 5th. The organizers say the social event will strictly enforce COVID-19 health protocols, and Salisbury MP Hector John promises a fun event all the same. He made this announcement while speaking on the Workers' Voice program on Q95 Thursday.
Our activity that will take place on the Salisbury Beach, the United Workers Party activity that will take place on Grab a Bite and Go, you know, we'll be selling food, we'll be selling tickets, but we'll also be respecting and following the strict protocols, so people will just buy in and picking up and leaving, you know, pay for your food and leave. But the beach is wide, so you could also take a sea bath and enjoy the ambience on the Salisbury Beach. So it will be on April 5th on the Salisbury Beach.
Salisbury MP Hector John. Education Minister Octavia Alfred says grade 6 students are ready for the exams and everything is in place for the pupils to sit the school leaving exams. The examinations will take place during the month of May.
Our officers and learning support people are visiting schools to ensure we still have devices with past papers on that we make available to students who need them at home.
Alfred says even if teachers get vaccinated, the Ministry of Education is still following all health protocols.
We still expect our students to continue as they did in September. We still have our hygiene wardens doing hand sanitizing. We still have people doing the tables because it's not a time for us to be careless, because COVID is very troublesome. You can't be careless. So as we move further into May, we may make slight changes to the protocols, but as of now, they are still in place. And if under worse conditions last year, our students made it, I am thinking this year, conditions are going to be more favorable.
She says online learning was something the ministry was already working on, and COVID-19 gave the push to get it on stream more quickly.
What COVID did, it kind of stimulated us and make us push it more rapidly. But before COVID, we already had teachers and students doing work online. We already had schools doing CXC fully online. We already had people giving assignments online. Now, all our schools have internet. All our schools, they have enough devices for mostly all the classes to be using at the same time. We have been asking our schools to submit to us how many more devices, the primary schools especially, that they're going to need to ensure that if one class goes with devices, and another class must not wait for them to be through to have it.
Education Minister Octavia Alfred. President of the Dominica Association of Industry and Commerce, Stephen Lander, says Dominica has fared well in terms of managing COVID-19 from a health perspective, but not without sacrifice on the economic front. His statements came amidst the first Eggs and Breakfast Forum for 2021 recently. Statistics from the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank indicated that economic growth contracted by about 15% in 2020 and is projected to grow by just about 3.25% in 2021.
No, that's an optimistic view, but I think we will all agree that will not be achieved without some deliberate management. So I think it's very fitting, and I am very excited to hear from our speakers today who will give us perspective, not from just the health side of things, but from the economic side, and help us and our members plan for how we move forward, coming out of this pandemic, as we now move into vaccination and what we all hope will be our return to normalcy.
He says a discussion on the role the business community can play in moving Dominica forward comes at an opportune time, as Dominica has been grappling with COVID-19 for about 1 year this March.
And it's critical for us to define our path forward against the backdrop of what has been primarily a health issue, but with a strong nexus to our economy. So I invite you to keep your ears and your minds open, and to digest this information and go back and implement them in your businesses as you go forward.
President of the DAIC, Stephen Lander. And at present, two regional emergency shelters are being constructed at Casa Bruce and Jimmit at a cost of about $31 million combined. National Security Minister Raymond Blackmore says the shelter in Casa Bruce will serve the various communities of Pitit Sufria, San Sauveur, Good Hope, Casa Bruce, and the Kalinago Territory, while the one at Jimmit will accommodate the communities of Maho, Belfast, Warner, Campbell, Massac, Sylvania, Springfield, and Espoir.
Both facilities will have sections specifically demarcated to serve as centers to those areas in non-emergency periods. You will also recall last year a regional shelter was commissioned in the community of Layu. Upon completion, these shelters will accommodate 300 and 500 people respectively. And of course, those shelters will certainly enhance the resilience of the country. The completion date is towards the end of this year.
Meanwhile, Blackmore addressed the many people who criticized the government after Hurricane Maria for using schools and other public buildings as shelters.
Although this approach is being used by developed countries, now these same people, they drive on the highway in Jimmit. They see before their very eyes that massive structure being constructed in Jimmit. They drive in the Layu area. They see the regional center. And they drive by Casa Bruce and they're seeing the works being undertaken. They see absolutely nothing. And that is very disappointing to me. So I must say that I'm looking forward for the completion of those facilities. And we, of course, as you know, among the things that we're doing is also the construction of resilient homes for people. So as we approach the hurricane season, we are ensuring that on the issue of shelters, that Dominica is in a much better place.
National Security Minister Raymond Blackmore, an assistant coach of the men's national football team, Colin Bernard, says the team has to put the disappointments of the match against the Dominican Republic behind them and regroup if they are to stand a chance of advancing to the next round of the World Cup qualifiers. Dominica's World Cup campaign suffered a major setback as the national team was beaten by the Dominican Republic on Wednesday in their opening encounter at the Estadio Felix Sanchez. Bernard spoke with DFA media following Thursday's training session at one of the Goal Project facilities in the Dominican Republic. Dominica has been placed in Group D of the CONCACAF qualifiers alongside Panama, the Dominican Republic, Barbados, and Anguilla. Dominica lost its opening match 1-0 to the Dominican Republic. Dominica will play Panama on March 28. The match will be played in the Dominican Republic. In other news, the Caribbean Development Bank's Board of Directors endorsed a U.S. $383 million program for the 10th cycle of the bank's Special Development Fund. The program, devised to reduce poverty and inequality and transform the lives of citizens in its borrowing member countries. The SDF represents the principal pool of concessional resources available to the bank to assist BMCs in addressing poverty, sustainable development, governance, capacity development, gender inequalities, environmental sustainability, climate change, disaster risk management, and regional cooperation and integration. Established in 1970, the fund is a unique partnership among the bank's stakeholders, with both borrowing and non-borrowing members contributing to its resources. And Venetians are in a somber mood after floods and COVID-19 impact its tourism-focused economy. Celebrations of Venice's 1600th birthday are muted due to coronavirus restrictions. The city's 20 million yearly tourists have vanished, as has its principal source of income. Chris Livesay has this report.
Venice loves festivities. Think of carnival, but right now, because of COVID and so few people around, well, it's hard for Venetians to sing happy birthday.
16 candles. That is, if each candle equals a century. And for the past three centuries, the history of Venice has been told through cups of espresso in St. Mark's Square at the Café Florian, says its artistic director, Stefano Stipitic.
So even Casanova came here.
Da Jean-Jacques Rousseau in the world.
The Florian also just had a birthday. It's 300th, making it the oldest cafe in Italy. But just like Venice, it isn't celebrating.
I mean, this says everything, doesn't it? Questa dice tutto.
Esatto. Questa è la situazione della città.
This is the situation we're in, he says. All of Venice is on top of the tables. It's a disaster. Since the pandemic, Venice has gone from one extreme to the other. Tens of thousands of daily tourists, many in cruise ships, used to barrage the city and distress the locals, once even slamming into a pier. Today, all gone, taking 90% of the city's revenue with them. But in 1,600 years of Venetians sailing the seas, COVID is hardly their first bout with disease. Venice even gave us the term quarantine, or quarantena in Italian, for the 40-day period that sailors had to spend on this island in self-isolation to keep them from spreading the plague. The Black Death, as it was known, gave birth in the 17th century to this haunting doctor's mask, the long nose ensuring social distancing, says costume designer Stefano Nicolau.
So this was like PPE. This is like the mask and the gloves
that
we have to wear today because of COVID.
You're right.
Quite simply, the Venetians have seen it all before, says Mayor Luigi Brugnaro. Tourists will come back, but we'll have to manage them more responsibly. And if a city as important as Venice can bounce back, he says, then so can the rest of the world.
Now, check this out. Right now in St. Mark's Square, hardly anyone in sight. Now, for the next several months, festivities are planned, but it's anyone's guess if they'll actually be held and if there will be any tourists around to see them.
And that's the midday news, but first a recap of the headlines. Attorney Gabriel Christian says the 2014 case of treating and bribery against Prime Minister Skerrett must be heard in the magistrate's court because no one is above the law, as affirmed by the CCJ. CDB endorsed a U.S. $383 million program for the 10th cycle of the bank's special development funds to reduce poverty and inequality. And celebrations of Venice's 1600th birthday are muted due to impacts of floods and coronavirus restrictions, and the city's 20 million yearly tourists have vanished, as has its principal source of income. This has been the Midday News. I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.